I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Nights. Nicely done. Really nicely done. We're glad you're here. I'm Spike O'Neill. That's Matt Butler at the board. And we lost a really giant today, man. But that's where we are in the world, man. Our heroes but that's our heroes leave us always in our life. Personal, business, entertainment, football, baseball, whatever. Our heroes move on. But Christine McVie, as you've heard by now, if you've been here, you know, if you're just hearing from us, I'm sorry. I hate to break the news, but the news department's had it all day, and it's been the tributes have been everywhere, as rightfully they should be. Christine McVie is a hero and a legend for so many generations of people. The music that she made with Fleetwood Mac is some of the timeless, credited with what many call the greatest album front to back ever made. Where there's not a bad cut in their Rumors release, Fleetwood Mac, of course. Christine McVie passed away at 79. And, you know, there's so many stars we lose as we move through time and we all grow up and grow old and, you know, grow apart and grow together. Christine McVie was, we'll have a rundown of her scandals in her professional career coming up later in the show. Just did the business of rock and roll and made it look effortless and, you know, joyful and inclusive and just exactly what you want in a role model for young musicians of all gender stripe, but young women who wanted to follow, a path in music. I mean, phew. And you know, it's somebody like Christine McVie, who, according to her family, suffered a brief illness. It's, I can't believe she was 79. That one, you know, a lot of our stars like Jaggers and, you know, you're counting them on three digits soon. You know that you realize that they've been around forever and have been pushing it so long and you cannot believe we still have the ability to enjoy them. Christine McVie was quietly made her way, to the Hall of Fame and everybody's conscious. The collective national, international musical conscience. Everybody has been inhabited by Christine McVie. And you don't realize the magnitude of the body of work and the effect it has on you for an artist when they pass. Some of them do, of course. You know, somewhere Jerry Lee Lewis passed, a couple weeks ago, if it was now, right? But we're getting to that point now where all of the heroes leave us too soon. You know, they're leaving. Matt, how you doing, buddy? Sorry to – you started it with that song, man.
No, I'm doing good. Just remembering the music, and Fleetwood Mac's one of my all-time favorite bands.
Yeah.
And it was, it's we all want to have meaningful lives, and it's very strange to get to a point in your life where you're realizing that so many of your musical heroes are no longer
right
with you.
Yep.
Tom Petty, David Bowie,
yep.
Prince, like all of that happened in my lifetime. Now Christine McVie, artists that, It's beautiful in that their art and their contribution will always be with us, but it's sobering to realize that we're all getting older,
Yeah, absolutely. And we lose so many far, far too soon, especially in that arena of entertainment. You know, the people who push their lives to the beyond the limits to deliver on whatever grain of talent and inspiration they were given in their soul and push that art into the world. And it's nonstop and it's grinding. I mean, I'm not a big Baz Luhrmann fan, but that Elvis movie really did capture what the career did to the artist, the man of Elvis. You know, and we lost him too soon. He wasn't even one of the 27 club. That list is in heartbreakingly, insanely long.
I saw a story posted on social media today where the artist Chris Isaak, very talented singer in his own right, and he was touring in France. He was in Paris, and somebody rolls down the window of their limo and says, "Don't you just love Paris?" And it's Christine McVie. And Chris Isaak is like, "Well, you know, me and the band have mostly been stuck in hotels." So she invites him into the limo and just drives around showing Paris to Chris Isaak. Just like the sweetest person.
It's a jet fuel injection of the muse. You know, when you see somebody like that do something like that. Yeah. I don't even want to be the one to say it. But I can't help but I just I hope you get what I'm saying when I say I thank God we still have Stevie Nicks. You know, and Christine McVie led a wonderful, long, brilliant life. You know, and left a wonderful, long, brilliant life and left it behind for us. You know, it's just it's weird cuz you know, you hear, and this was just so sudden and unexpected. I don't know if anyone had any story about that Christine McVie was suffering a really short illness and a mortality.
I wasn't even aware that
she was. I hadn't heard a word, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear that some artists are struggling. I mean, we had the story last night with Bob Dylan having to auto-sign a couple thousand books that were sold at a premium price because they were autographed by him, by the artist. And he had to come out and say, "Hey, look, man, I was unable to travel. I've got vertigo, and the COVID came, and nobody could come in. I couldn't go out. It was..." You know, we know about a lot of the artists that we are losing to time and human and the human condition. Everybody gets to the same place at the end, no matter how you get there, how fast or how good looking you are at the end. We all still get there to, you know, that's it. I don't mean to go on about mortality and all that, but what a wonderful. Could you play just a little more of any other Fleetwood Mac that features Christine McVie? We could do that all night long and never run out of material.
Well, every In Bump tonight will be.
Yes, I had a feeling it would. Yeah.
So we'll definitely do that.
Okay, we don't have to do it right now. Let's move on, though. We're glad you're all with us tonight. We hope that you're home tonight and not on the road tonight if you're joining the Cairo Nights show. And if you're texting into the show at 888-973-5476, you better be home and not drive in your car. It's going to be one of those black ice, freezy weather, things were all wet in the afternoon, snow fell, it melted, it covered everything, and then it snap froze tonight in a lot of places. And more snow's coming up the city's South 40 in this next batch of weather coming through. The snow event, round two of our first snow of the season. We covered this a little bit last night, too, and the snow was just still falling on us and really had us. It's amazing how this story of Snowmageddon or whatever it might be. We make fun of it in some places because some neighborhoods got next to nothing. Some neighbors within a mile of each other got next to nothing or dumped and completely blocked in with 4 to 5 to 6 inches of snow. So close to each other because of the topographical differences in our city. Some of the stuff we love, that everybody's got a hill and a view. Well, this is the time we pay for the beauty of the hill and the view that you enjoy all year long. Because every time we get just even a little bit of winter weather, the city can really, a lot of us can go sideways, while half of us have no idea what we're talking about, and it matters not at all because it didn't get my neighborhood. You know, I think Chef mentioned that to me this morning. I filled in for G. Scott. He couldn't make it in.
Yeah, he posted, if you go on the Cairo News Radio Facebook page, he posted some video where it actually has the transformers blowing.
Yes.
And the blue light. It's far out.
Well, his family's up in the convergence zone, much like mine is. I'm a little further south than him. He's got a little worse than I did. But that South Linwood area, you know, that north, that's where the crux of the big snow fell late at night and all these tree limbs. And to your point about the video, you can hear just limbs breaking under weight and just cracking and falling and the explosive pop of power transformers going out. A lot of people are still dark tonight. I was driving into work and it's that time of year where you leave house for work and it's already dark, you know? We get it for a little while here, but I like when we left work and it was still light out in the middle of the summer. That was phenomenal. But the lights on the neighborhoods were still out between my house and the freeway coming down the road, the on-ramp to the freeway up in the shoreline area where that massive convergence was. The lights to the freeway, I almost ran almost got crushed at a light intersection that was out today, which should be a four-way stop. And everybody was stopping, and I went to go, and the car just came up and rolled through as I'd already started to take my foot off the brake and break the seal of the intersection. Had to slam my brakes, honk my horn, zip right on past. It's weird to have the power out next to you when you don't. Where I live, it's funny, my next-door neighbor somehow is on a different power grid than I am. The line of the two separate power grids in my neighborhood is the fence of my house. Everybody west of me is on a grid, and my neighbor to the east, and everybody moving east of him is off the power. It was a different power grid. He was out of power this morning when I got up before, still cold before dawn. Our house was toasty warm. I look over through the window of my next-door neighbor's house. Was nothing but black. The whole hillside, nothing but black. A lot of people still without power tonight. I think they're getting most of the repairs done. But when you have a windstorm on top of a heavy snowstorm like that, or at least heavy snow, not a massive storm, but the heavy snow, that's the perfect recipe for power outage. And we had it. Everywhere I went today, it still had little dark pockets of the city, at least between. That's because I guess I came from where the meat of the storm was down to here. That's where it kind of rolled through. And tomorrow night or tonight, it's going to be more for the south side, south enders. Yep. So if you're out tonight working, if you're DoorDashing, if you're ordering DoorDash tonight, Texter pointed out, right?
Tip generously.
Seriously.
Getting out in this. Come on.
And if you are out working in it, man, please be careful. I saw some folks shut off their own street today up in our neck of the woods. There's a hillside that was a little slushy and a little deep, because my house was pretty unaffected by the weather. Woke up this morning and everything that fell last night had been kind of rained away and washed away. But climb 800 feet in elevation up the hill toward the main drag of Aurora Avenue through that part of the city, or just north of the city. And they had real snow. They had power outages. And these folks had taken all the recycle bins, the blue, or I guess those are the recycle bins are blue, the yard waste are green, and had six of them across the street to block off the roadway because coming up was a slick downslope, and I guess somebody had slid and hit a car or whatever. I don't know. They blocked off their own road. I saw folks using a couple years ago, Matt, the city had made their own de-icer. I could tell because it was the shoreline area that had a city truck with seriously was a slap together with stuff from Home Depot, functioning, PVC tube perforated with a drill, and a big, plastic tub on the back of strapped down with straps to this city pickup truck. Guy had made his own de-icer machine. I'm like, solid. That's innovation. That's good use of my tax dollars. This is the same city, of course, that rents herds of goats in the summertime to clear off the brush, the blackberries of the insanely steep inclines of some of our intersections, our on-ramps and off-ramps. They could hire guys to stand there with weed whackers and try to shut it all down, but they bring a guy over for 3 days with his own herd of 8 to 10, 12 goats, and they munch it down to the dirt.
Caveat, those better be electric weed whackers.
Nowadays, and leaf blowers, too. They put a ban on all the gasoline-powered because they're insanely loud for the people operating them, and they put out numerous cars, an hour of a weed blower, a gas-powered weed blower in the back of someone doing work for the city or a private company, blows out more exhaust into the more CO2 into the atmosphere than a bunch of cars. So yes, it's going to be a quieter world when they're weed whacking, but I don't mind the goats. I like seeing the goats. I hope you guys had a safe weather day. I know some schools were closed up in the north side of the city, and I'm probably going to have more of that tomorrow. If the storm comes through and hits into the south area, or, Olympia North, you're going to have some school closures down there. Do you think schools should still be closed for snow?
I do. I still think they should retain the tradition of the snow day.
There was a nice debate going on, around the country today especially locally, but I heard this thing all over the place. Do kids with the ability to now do remote school or last-minute events like this, Or is it officially worth taking an entire day off?
That assumes way too much readiness on the part of teachers and students.
Absolutely
to
right.
Scramble to get those remote setups or whatever.
Absolutely
they're using
right.
Back together.
Yep. That was my pushback against the idea today. Was that, you know, to assume everybody's got a home classroom like they had during a 2 year or a year plus lockdown. Those situations that were temporary and never quite enough for a lot of people, including even internet access itself wasn't enough for a lot of people, to assume everybody's got the ability to flip a switch like the morning TV, because we used to have scrolls going across the bottom of TV, you know, with what schools were closed. Now you could get a text message, hey, we're remote learning today, tune the channel, blah, blah, blah. I mean, with some pre-planning, it could be doable.
Gee, I remember being in radio in small towns where school closings were the thing.
Oh, absolutely.
You'd see a single drop of snow and some kid would be calling asking if school was closed.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, I think it was Chef pointed out this morning, good luck getting a kid to sit in front of a computer during the snow on a snow day. I mentioned that it might train them better for adult life if you realize that you can work 2 hours and get credit for a whole day's work. You know, that seems to be the problem a lot with the remote learning. When we all decided we could be trusted to work remote during the pandemic, we're coming to the understanding that a lot of you may not have been, you know, a dedicated, you know, to the time in front of your work computer. I saw kids when my daughter was doing school remotely, speaking of remote schooling. A kid had created a screensaver, you know, for an image for his Zoom that was like a little video of a holding, rebooting. So he could look like his internet connection was the problem, and he'd just check out.
This kid will do 15, well 20, in life.
He will. I think he's running Twitter today. Nice kid. nice kid. Boy, that's
somebody
a,
should.
That's a story in itself that we got to get into. We got to get into Twitter, and we got to get into TikTok, and a governor banning the use of TikTok because it gives the Chinese every bit of information, the Chinese government. Lots of cool stuff to talk about tonight. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Cairo Nights, everybody. You know, one of the texters at 888-973-5476. By the way, everybody appreciates your taste in music, and that's the way you show love and respect. I appreciate the choices. That we should have a moment of silence, but I think as Matt's pointed out, maybe a moment or two of musical perfection, if I dare, and joy, and quality, and heart. God, I love this era of Fleetwood Mac, man. Oh, this is great stuff.
This is actually Bob Welch solo.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Joins him on the song.
Right. Yeah, it's hard not to hear perfection in that. You know? Hard not to hear absolute perfection.
So beautiful.
Yeah, welcome back to Cairo Nights, everybody. God, I completely forgot what we were going to do now. Well, thank you for that. You're Shanghai in my brain with your musical talents, which is just fine. I should mention the Seahawks code word of the day right now, right? Be a good time to do that. Coming up, we're going to announce today's Seahawks code word for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Hawks take the field against the Carolina Panthers here at Lumen Field on December 11th. We'll pull three winners tonight. Three winners tonight, not just qualifiers, winners tonight. But the contest today ends at 11:59. Tomorrow, a brand new keyword will roll over. And you can go to mynorthwest.com/win for all the information. And keep it here at Cairo News all week long for a chance to win Seahawks tickets. Hawks, of course, taking on the Rams down in L.A. And one of those games that can determine which way your season. You're at the fork in the road, the proverbial fork in the road for the Seahawks. After ripping out a nice first place four-game win streak, the Hawks have dropped a couple. going down to LA to take a wounded and hurting Rams team that desperately needs a win, kind of like the Raiders did last week when they showed up and gave it to us like a proctologist dressed at a med school. And so this week in LA, the Hawks can go down and reclaim who they were, how they got to the division lead, and a team that was talked that had overperformed, playing with house money, a lot of people like to say. But they go down this weekend in LA and get run over again. And next thing you know, you're back, you're at 600, and you're still, you're not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination. You're not out of the playoff picture this early in the season. But, ooh, they got to right the ship. See how it goes down there. And then when they come home after a win in LA, you can be at the stadium with them on the 11th, seeing them beat up on the Carolina Panthers. Oh. You know, we don't have time for the capital gains thing in this much time. There's too much time to talk about that kind of stuff. We could talk a little World Cup. We could talk a little politics and sports, if you like, because, you know, of course, everyone's very, very, very happy that the USA beat Iran. I'll say it right so they don't come after me, too, with the you're mispronouncing it police, and I'm not making any kind of statement. But members of the press and the sports world have been criticized for how they pronounce the name Iran. I try to get it right out of respect. And it was more of a geopolitical soccer game with the U.S. and Iran at odds over human rights and all the things that imbibes and all the news we see coming out in the international support for all citizens of Iran. And it makes its way into the World Cup pitch with the U.S. team, of course, tweeting out a picture of the altered Iranian flag. If they had just their green, white, and red stripes and not the Nation of Islam sign, that is. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I best say logo, and I guess the stars are logo.
Well, the Nation of Islam would be something different than the Islamic Republic.
Well, whatever the treasured symbol of the center of the Iranian flag, was removed by the U.S. soccer team in a social media post, and that's pretty disrespectful. If anybody had done that to the American flag and posted it on the official country's soccer team, we'd be pretty livid about that. So I can respect and understand their disapproval. So they got these two nations that are already at odds on so many fronts. And here go these guys, these athletes stepping onto the World Cup stage. And the weight is on their shoulders for each of them, their teams, to kind of put up for their nation in this disagreement, to put it mildly. But we see that all the time. We see politics and social events creep into the world of sports. And a lot of people are always pushing back. Well, I don't want my athletes to give me messages. I don't want messaging from sports. You know, part of Colin Kaepernick's blacklisting from the NFL, essentially, was his stance to kneel for the flag or kneel for the national anthem, which was painted as a disrespect to the flag itself. And, you know, he was a public figure using whatever means he had to draw attention to an issue. Protests, part of the things we take for granted sometimes, but we treasure as part of this democracy, is the right to protest your government or to protest basically anything, a company that's not selling safe stuff, whatever it might be. Look around the world today, people who try to protest in China right now, in Iran, protesting something we tend to take for granted. So Colin Kaepernick chooses to protest. It puts half the country on its ears because of a painted narrative of unpatriotism. I'm not getting into that, whether it was right or wrong to do that, but let's recognize that protest is protest is protest. And if somebody had altered our flag, we'd be sideways. So there's these guys on the field, on the pitch of the World Cup in Qatar. And the U.S. team prevailed and exceeded expectations of the whole country's rooting for them. You see them on TVs all over the country, all over the place. Fabulous. But the same message with the LGBTQ right issues going into this World Cup. So many teams, like with seven teams in Europe, were going to wear a supportive armband for the gay LGBTQ community. And they were told by FIFA not to wear them. They could be all issued yellow cards from the gate, from the first opening kick throughout the course of the game. And another penalty could alter that team's entire course through the World Cup, ending an entire nation's hopes, geopolitical or just fan-based. So the politics creeps into sports all the time, and people say they don't want it there. It's not a good thing. They don't want protests. They don't want my entertainers, even my stage entertainers or my music, whatever entertainers, to tell me how to think and who to vote for, blah, 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 blah.
But boy, were they mad when they took Hank Williams Jr. off Monday Night Football.
Well, sure. Well, and they viewed that as a political statement. That's funny. It's a great, great point to irony there. You know, we don't want politics in sports, but we don't mind sports in politics. You know, Herschel Walker's main claim to qualification for being a member of the U.S. Senate is he could run the football at Georgia.
He has a badge, man. Respect.
I've been to the Halloween superstores. I got a badge too. You know, carries just about as much weight in the law enforcement community, honorary or whatever. I know, like, it's it. But we don't mind when we use stars or athletes to run for public office and play on their trade in their notoriety and fame in the world of politics. Tommy Tuberville is the senator from Alabama, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. Traded completely on his time as a football, college football coach.
Oh, yeah. Central to his campaign.
Sure. And that's fine. But just don't take it to so far up your spine when somebody from an athletic field holds their hands up at the Olympic Games in protest or, you know, whatever form they choose, kneels next to the field during a standing national anthem, which, by the way, Kaepernick's initial protest was recommended to him by a decorated U.S. veteran who saw that Kaepernick was sitting during the national anthem in protest of what he felt was injustice in his community. And this veteran suggested to him, hey, how about kneeling for the flag as a show of your objection to the situation, but still with some respect to the men who fought and died for defending the flag. And that's how that came out. But that wasn't good for some people. It's hard to have it both ways. It really is, man. Unless you want to, you know, accept hypocrisy, thus giving your endorsement to hypocrisy, you got to kind of let it cut both ways. That's my friend Alan White, by the way, on drums. You got great taste, man. Considering legends we've lost. See, all good people. I could have let that play for a long time. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. We appreciate you guys being here. We love when you take part in the show. 888-973-5476. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Cairo Nights, everybody. Yeah. The late and great Christine McVie passed today after a brief illness with her family at her side and just leaving behind an unbelievable and unarguable legacy of work and art and love and talent. And it's not something I thought about ever. It was so out of the blue, her illness and her passing, at least to me, that, and a lot of people, it's hard to not move on so quickly. As I tried to alliterate this earlier, that some of our heroes are, we know that they're reaching, you know, the end of their journey here on the rock, and you're expected when someone passes who's, you know, had a wonderful long life and career. I just never thought of, maybe that's it. I just never thought of Christine McVie as being anything other than perfect behind the keyboard and in front of a microphone. And performing exactly like we expect her to and beyond every time they take to the stage or take to a studio. Anyway, It's going to be like that all night, folks. If you don't like it, find something else to look at and listen to. Because we often don't have the time to take time and pay tribute to somebody who's the people that have moved and influenced us throughout our lives. And we have a moment here, so thank you, Matt. I should say a listener who there are texters, a listener, texter, a combo job here, Matt. From the 253, when I was trying to describe the World Cup and the political leanings of this particular team, that I was describing what the United States men's team did to the flag of Iran and about the symbol that was removed in its social media post. And if I said the Nation of Islam or whatever symbol that was removed, I was speaking out of ignorance and not with any intent to confuse the two. I appreciate when you guys point stuff out to me. I'll figure out if I'm going to talk about that story, I'll figure out what the flag and its symbol are referred to as. And I'll do it correctly, not out of disrespect. You know, I like watching sports, man. I don't mind, you know, Cancer Awareness Month or whatever other cause teams step up for to use their platform to let folks know what's going on and when it's time to bring our attention to things. And when guys train their whole lives and work 12, 18 hours, you know, 12 hours a day, becoming good enough to be professional and get paid to entertain you with their sport athletic abilities, they've earned the right to make a statement. These guys, you know, you see them out there for how many plays a game, you don't realize the decades of work and dedication it took to get to that level of their craft.
I'm always frustrated when people act as though becoming famous removes your civil rights in a sense. Like they're saying, because so-and-so is famous, they shouldn't have an opinion. But because George Clooney is an actor, he can't have an opinion or knowledge about anything other than acting.
Well,
like I don't think that's respectful, because if you believe in freedom and if you believe in rights, then all of these people, even if they have achieved big things in entertainment or sports, are still citizens and still have the right to speak about what they're passionate about.
And they've earned it, man. You know, the soapbox belongs to whoever steps up on it in this society. And if you can erect a better soapbox, you know, to reach more people with the message.
Well, hopefully Jack Dorsey can.
Speaking of soapbox, I know this is not the time, but we got to talk about what's going on Twitter. Oh, thank you. This is a perfect time. Speaking of what to talk about and how to use this platform we just built up. Matt, thank you for reminding me of this. Wait a minute. Are we talking about?
I've got you here. It is now time to announce the Seahawks co-worker.
Oh, I was going to talk about the treehouse with the platform. When we come back, we'll talk more about holiday magic.
Well, for all
and
of
treehouse.
You waiting for the Seahawks
You're absolutely, I forgot. Short-term attention span, instant gratification. I remember where we are. I remember what year it is. You're right. Thank you. Okay. It's time to announce the Seahawks code word.
Yes, head to mynorthwest.com.
I got it.
Well, I was in a groove. Now you're going
to... No.
Okay.
Let's hear it, brother. No, deliver. Deliver.
Right.
Deliver.
Head to mynorthwest.com/win. Enter the code word TACKLE to be entered to win two tickets to see the Seahawks host the Carolina Panthers. That'll be December 11th. This code word expires 11:59 p.m. tonight. Details and rules at mynorthwest.com/win. We'll have three winners from today. That's three winners from today. And don't forget, listen to Cairo News Radio all week long for more chances at Seahawks tickets.
Nicely done, my friend. You got a career in this.
Thank
it's
you.
Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. We'll be right back.